It's cool to see that there's more and more to learn all the time. And I'm sure even once we're into 300 episodes, we'll be learning a lot more. So my whole goal is just get a regular schedule doing it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things. And mainly I'm going to talk about guesting, like podcast guesting, being on someone else's show. And I've got somebody great to be on the show. He's been on a few podcasts. He's been on tons of podcasts. And then he started a podcast and he was like, I don't really need to do all this guesting because I got my own. But it sounds like he's getting intentional about being on other people's shows the last few weeks. I mean, he's on different shows. So I'm going to ask Kyle a few questions about guesting and why he's doing it and who told him to do it and if it's working at all. And so it's going to be fun. His podcast, by the way, is The Art of Raising Humans. So he's actually a counselor for families to help families be closer. So it's going to be kind of fun as well. We might talk a little bit about that. Kyle, let's go into your history of, like, you had your company and you were guesting on other people's podcasts. Why did you end up starting your own?
Well, that's a great question, Adam. It was a secret mission I had to expose my wife's brilliance to the world. So it was like I was helping coach all of these families that would reach out to us throughout the world. So I was getting a chance to help these families. And part of it was the knowledge I had, what I've accrued through my education and a lot of mentoring through some great other parent coaches. But then, man, a lot of times I'd come home and my wife is just fantastic, not only with our kids, but all the other kids she's involved with. So anytime I was stumped about how to help a family, I would just say, hey, honey, what would you do in this situation? So then my wife would tell me, I'd come back and they'd be like, that was brilliant, Kyle. I was like, oh, thanks. I appreciate that. And behind the scenes, I knew it was really my wife. But my wife, Adam, she's not comfortable with these kind of settings. So she doesn't like speaking in front of groups. She was interviewing right now. She would be more comfortable now, but she would have been really nervous about ever getting on a podcast because she would think people would be bored with what she had to say, or, you know, it just really lacks confidence in what she has to offer. So that's where I set up a secret mission to put a table and a microphone with my iPad in our master closet and just said, hey, honey, could I ask you some questions? Could I just pick your brain on some different ideas? And man, it was funny to watch her squirm. I mean, especially the first 10 episodes we did, it was great stuff. But she, at the end of it, she'd say, did I talk too much? Do you think did I pause enough? Was I loud enough? I was like, honey, you were fantastic. And what was great, Adam, is I kept having friends who listened to it, who would text me and say, hey, Kyle, it was fun listening to what you had to say, but really what your wife had to say was better. So like I kept sharing that with my wife and just kept saying, honey, here's the text I'm getting. Like, you need to keep doing this podcast with me.
I have a question. I look at this. You're a licensed professional.
Yep. Yep.
Why is your wife so good at this? And is she a licensed professional?
She's also, yeah, we did our master's degrees together. So we went to college together. And she went right into working with populations of kids who'd been sexually and physically abused. And so she was like deep into some stuff, like helping families with big time trauma, right? Whereas I was an elementary school counselor. And so I got to spend a lot of time with kids. The situations she was dealing with were much more in depth. And my wife, Adam, is just much more natural at understanding the skills, like I find a lot of mothers are than dads. And so I found as a dad, I was kind of just oblivious to some of the ways to help kids. So really it was through watching her, hearing her, and then put my own dad spin on what she was doing. But through that, we really became a unified like team, understanding the vision that we wanted to have for our kids and where we wanted to take them and the kind of relationships we wanted to have for them. And so we say this all the time when we speak to groups, because we speak at churches and schools all around our area. And we just tell them we felt selfish. Like we felt so like wrong just keeping this information to ourselves. So that's why we wanted to start the podcast, to really just give it away, you know, to just say, hey, if you need help, and I know families all over the world do, there's no manual for this, but that we have gone through a lot of training and we have a lot of experience with thousands of families. And here's what we've learned. And there is actually a way to create the family you want. It's not a guessing game.
I want to go backwards again, because I don't think I got the answer not necessarily the answer that I was looking for or the answer that I expected, but I don't know if we finished answering.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to start a podcast? Like, was it just because of not wanting to be selfish? Was
it because
it benefits your business? Was it because somebody told you to do it?
I love it. We both listen to podcasts. We love it. I found it to be a medium that we really enjoy and learn a lot from. And so, Adam, I mean, in all seriousness, I thought someday I would love our kids to be able to have a recorded audio of all the stuff that we've learned, right? And then, of course, we wanted it to reach people. We thought, but we had no idea. Like, we weren't marketing this. We weren't putting it out there. And I just felt like something in my gut said, I think me and my wife are going to need to be able to talk about this in a way that's more public than we do right now, because we're already doing it privately all the time in our homes. But we're going to need to get comfortable with the rhythm, because we had spoken before, Adam, in public settings at times. It was really awkward. It was just like, I'm a very talkative person. She's kind of reticent to talk. So it ended up me just dominating the speaking thing. So I wanted my wife to get more comfortable with that interplay, because I believed that's where our business was going, right? And it led to that. Like, we did 30 speaking engagements, a little over 30 last year. And some of those were small as, you know, 10 families to some 150. Right. And so there was bigger venues that we did it, and it was awesome, Adam, because of the interplay, because we had now, we're up to 90 plus episodes on our podcast. Now that my wife has gotten that rhythm, she's really grown. Her voice has grown, and her ability to speak what she knows has really developed. And she's kind of found her own voice separate from mine through the podcasting medium. And that really was my goal the whole time. And so if it led to revenue, awesome. If it led to more opportunities to coach, great. But it really was, I wanted my wife to find her voice and for people to be able to hear it along with mine, because I believe that was essential to the business going forward.
Yeah. So your podcast is kind of helping you to build a business together, because in a way, she's getting more experience. You're both getting more experience. Yeah. I get more experience behind my mic.
Yeah.
And it's really helping you when you go to places together to kind of speak to families and stuff like that. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think the unique thing we bring to the table, Adam, when it comes to talking to families, I've been to a lot of events where some guy is speaking, where a woman is speaking, but it's a really unique thing to have a husband and wife, if people listen to the podcast, just be as vulnerable and as open as we are, that we're not trying to be perfect parents. We don't act like we are. We really just wanted to invite them in to the daily conversations we were having about what it looks like to parent intentionally when you're raising humans a certain way. Right. So I really wanted us to just get comfortable with doing that, so then other families could see that modeled, because I think modeling is the most powerful teacher. And I thought, besides video format, I thought this audio, this podcasting platform is a great way to model that type of thinking and interacting with each other.
I want to talk about and think about it for our listener who is a podcaster.
Yeah,
they may or may not be doing intentionally trying to get on other people's podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
I wanted you to answer this question. It's kind of a long-winded question.
Okay.
So feel free to kind of give me the details or give the listener the details. In the beginning of your business, you guested on lots of podcasts.
Yeah. Yep.
You then started your own podcast, didn't guest as much for a while.
Yeah. Yep.
And now you're being really intentional.
Yeah.
Give us some of the whys behind that and some of the what's happening because of it.
I think initially I was just, we started the business, had the website, and then I started getting requests to be on podcasts. And I was actually confused why. I was like, why do you want me on your podcast? So seriously, we were just like, cool. Somebody asked us to, let's do it. So I just started doing it. And
would it be you and your wife at the same time?
No, it was just me mostly because, because back then, once again, my wife would have no interest. So it was just me doing it. And it was like, I was the face of the business, you know? So it was just like people were calling, and I was confused because typically they say, in order to be on the podcast, you got to have this many subscribers. You got to have, I don't have this gigantic email list. I don't have this. So I was actually confused why they were, but then they would talk to me and say, I really like what you have to say. I still want you on the podcast. So, okay, cool. So I didn't even know the point of being on it other than just for me personally, get the practice of it. So that's why when we started the podcast, the goal for me wasn't anymore to just be on people's podcasts. It now was to get experience being on this platform, how it works, what doesn't work, what I like and don't like about it, right? And ways in which to tweak the message that we were doing. And obviously after we've done so many, we got more and more comfortable with it. So to answer the second part of your question, the reason why now we're getting on people's podcasts is because the coaching help we're receiving is the next step and really to help families, if that's what we really want to do, if we really want to grow the business and be able to reach more people throughout the world. Because I think what we're offering is going to change and transform any family that wants to partake in it. You got to be on other people's podcasts. You got to take time to get on these other people's platforms and be able to reach a different audience, right? So that's when this January 2024, the goal is to get on as many podcasts as we can to give value to that person doing the podcast, right? And to just offer that to them. And if things come back, which I think they will, I think eventually people hear the message and be interested, fantastic, right? But really, I think if also, Adam, what blew up for us last October, we had a few reels on social media also really blow up and get up like 1.4 million. So at this point, we had like four reels that hit over a million views. And that also kind of expanded our thinking on how many people we could reach with this message. Because up until now, it was very local and maybe just within our state. But then all of a sudden, we were realizing, wow, we could really reach people all over the world with this message.
And can you serve people all over the world, like with your coaching? Is this something you can do virtually?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So parents all over the world have always, I mean, over the past, I say 6 years, reached out to us specifically because they are wanting to stop yelling at their kids. They're realizing that the techniques they're using, the kind of techniques they were given many times by their parents who loved them and cared for them, but those techniques aren't working. Like those techniques are hurting their relationship with their kids and their kids are pulling away and they're losing their connection with them. And so they'll find us, they'll just Google and reach out. I'm always surprised how they find us, but they'll find us, they'll start doing one-on-ones with me. And so I have kind of a process that I take them through where we get a vision for the family and we start working towards creating that vision for them and their kids.
So you do one-on-one coaching.
Yeah.
And is your podcast helping you do more one-on-one coaching? Just your own show?
Yeah. We reached, because of that big blow up last October, I mean, like you podcast all the time, Adam, so maybe these aren't big numbers, but they're big numbers to us. I don't know. But we reached, I think just 2 weeks ago, 1600 listeners in a week, right? Which to us is like, what the crap, dude? Like people, because it used to be just like 100, right? So now it's like, it's reached 1600. And then we're getting messages all the time from people who are saying, hey, this episode really helped my family, or like they're even finding us on YouTube, because now we're putting our clips on YouTube as well. And so all of a sudden people are going to The Art of Raising Humans on YouTube, and those are getting 5, 6, 7,000 views. And so we're like, okay, this is great. So we're just, anyway, I mean, secretly, Adam, what I'm doing is, I remember being a kid and I remember being like 10 or 11 and watching my parents parent and thinking, you guys make some really big mistakes. Like there's some things that you guys, as a little kid, I'd be praying and just hoping that someone would help them and someone would help them, give them some tips, man. I didn't think it was big changes. I think it was like some tips. They just needed some, that just never came along. Right. And so I think part of me, the joy my wife and I get, is we're secretly helping our little versions of ourselves that are in homes all over the world who are asking their parents to get some help, right? To get some coaching. And then we're able then to equip those dads and those moms, I think, to be the parent they want to be. And that's what's been so exciting.
Have you seen any benefit to being on other people's podcasts so far? Even in the beginning or lately, now that you've been really intentional? Yeah. And if so, can you talk about some of those benefits, what they look like and what they might look like for a listener who's a podcaster as well?
Yeah. I think initially, it was just confidence, Adam. I thought what I was saying was important, but I had no idea that other people would care about it. So getting an opportunity to just be seen and heard by another person in another state somewhere, or I think one time I did a podcast, a lady was in Italy and it was like, she found me. And so just being asked to share it, if I felt honored, and that really helped. So it kind of, I thought, wow, this is really neat. Maybe I don't need to be just local. So it helped expand my understanding. But then now being on it, it's really fun to be on these podcasters' platforms. And it helps me, like when I'm talking to them about what we do, many of them start to get really, they get really excited, right? So I see the excited in the person I'm talking to, and there, lots of them have kids at them, and they're like, dude, I totally need this for my kid, right? And so it just, once again, increases and expands my thinking over who am I trying to help with this. It's not about just trying to niche down to where I'm only talking to this person or that person. But like, I think everybody, the skills I'm teaching these parents will help everybody, help a single guy, a single lady. They're going to help, you know, like just a married people with no kids. I mean, that's why we call it the art of raising humans, is we're all just human beings. And these skills that we are specifically talking about with kids work for all things. So it's fun to see that. And then the last one I would say is a big thing our coach reminds us all the time is there's really no such thing as competition. You know, he really like emphasizes us being generous with what we know. Stop worrying about whether that person's competing with you or not. Just get on the podcast and just give it away, right? And just get into the practice of understanding that what you have isn't just yours to keep or monetize. It's yours to give freely to whoever can hear it, you know? And in that, you're trusting that good that you put into the world is going to come back and eventually, you know, benefit you, right?
Yeah, I love that. So number seven, I don't know if you had these numbered in your head, and I might be misquoting you, but I have like seven benefits that I wrote down. Okay. And one is that you gain confidence.
Yes.
You're more likely to get seen and heard.
Yep.
Yeah. You can be in places like Italy, like all around the world when you're guesting on other people's shows.
Yep.
Number four is you expand your own understanding of a lot of things, like what's possible with your business, what's possible here. And number five is you can help the host and their listener.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. You're there, you're helping, and then the host is like, "Ooh, I need this too."
Yeah.
And so you might be able to build a relationship with that person.
Sure.
And now you're coaching the person that was hosting that other podcast.
Even on the podcast I was on Wednesday. Yeah. After we got done recording, he's like, "Hey dude, can I ask you about this? What would you do if your kid is?" And so it's funny. And even if that person never becomes a client, I love doing that. Like when I got off of that, Andrew, and this is what I'd say to all those people podcasting, maybe this is number eight, is I just felt energized. I loved it, right? Like I got off that podcast, told my wife, like, that was awesome. I loved talking to that person about that stuff. And so it kind of also reveals to me maybe a desire, a pathway for me. This is something that is really, I'm supposed to go down this path because it is fun and exciting. I love talking to you now. So it's just energizing.
And you're also honing a skill. So
let
me keep going. I think, where was I? The host and the listener. Six, there's no such thing as competition. Seven, comebacks. Eight, feeling energized. Nine, you really honing in on your skill. And I like when I do my podcast, especially if I'm guesting and people are asking me questions, then you tend to just get better at your own craft.
Yes.
And I think you kind of mentioned that as well earlier about hosting the podcast with your wife.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about a few parenting tips.
Okay.
And then we'll get to the best advice you have for the podcast listener, who's also a podcast host who's listening. So a couple parenting tips. Let's go there.
Well,
you talked about yelling, and I'm thinking about it. Like, I wonder if your own physical fitness is a parenting tip. I'm wondering if you need to be a good example and how that is. Yeah. And I have one random question that you may be a good person to answer.
Yeah.
What about having the birds and the bees conversations with kids? Like, when do you do that? How do you do that? What if they seem like they're, what's the word for it? Naive and shy, but you're feeling like you still should at least tell them at some point. Examples about phones and work and being too busy for them and being like, not now. Or game nights, or maybe if you could take some of the stuff that I gave you and also the things you already know and just give me, what are the top five parenting tips you might run through quickly?
Well, look, that's good, Adam. Let me take it from this angle, because I think we'll cover it all. Okay. Something that we do that's a little different is we really focus on helping the parent understand something called interpersonal neurobiology. And interpersonal neurobiology is basically how my brain is interacting with another human's brain. So, like, I love that example that you gave of the birds.
I see
a lot of teenagers who've had that talk and it sucked. It was super awkward. The kid remembers it as this horrible experience, right? And I would say because of where the parent was when they approached it, right? That the connection wasn't where it needed to be, meaning the kid's like, oh, this is going to be weird. Dad's acting weird or mom's acting weird. And it got like the when you're in the emotional part of your brain, instead of in your prefrontal cortex, where the prefrontal cortex is where your self-control is, your ability to be regulated and composed in that moment, you're able to really connect with another human. When I'm in the limbic system, a lot of parents are coming from that emotional part of their brain thinking, this is going to be so weird. I hope the kid, oh my gosh, so important. I hope I don't say it the wrong way. And there's all this like thing. So the kid feels that weirdness, just like even like a pet can feel when we're in an emotional state. Our kids can too. And so when we come, they're already feeling the awkwardness, the weirdness, the lack of confidence. Typically, lots of times the connection isn't great. So even these, like, I haven't really spoken to you about anything serious in a long time. And now you want to talk about this and you're talking about sex and like, this is crazy, right? So it's a lot of it is talking to the parent about understanding how to get this deeper connection with the kid, where if I can show you with my hands, I'm doing this on video. I think we're on video, but I just say to the listener, if they squeeze their hands real tight and then open their hand wide, right? Basically, a lot of the conversations like this, screens, sex, all this stuff, they're conversations being done with closed fists, meaning the parent is coming in a part of their brain where they kind of have this agenda. I need to talk this. I need to get the kid to believe this. I need to get the kid to understand this, right? And then they're surprised when the kid has a closed fist back and the kid's like, I think this is stupid. You don't really get what I'm going through, right? And so we're both just talking past each other. Neither one is talking with. So I would say my big tip that covers all of those ones you said is, if I understand really the importance of the connection and coming with an open hand, meaning I'm coming not to tell you how to think, not telling you how this needs to be done, but I'm coming to you to understand you. And I want you then in turn to understand me. And we're going to join hands together and co-create a better situation when it comes to screens, when it comes to sex, when it comes to curfew, when it comes to homework, whatever that thing is if I'm composed and I have a good connection with you. And once again, Adam, this works in marriage too. So if I'm coming to my wife and I've got the closed fist, I'm like, I'm so sick of her being on the phone so much. She's always on social media, looking at TikTok, right? We're never having sex anymore. We're not like, if I come like that, she's going to feel judged and criticized and her hand's going to be closed too. And we're just going to be button heads. So we're just going to keep button heads. Instead, if I'm coming with an open hand, meaning I want to connect with you through this conflict. So I want to connect to you on the subject of phones. I want to connect. So when you do that, then that's the only way we can then co-create how we're going to interact in this moment together. Now, I'll give you a real quick short story. So an example, if I hear this from dads a lot, Adam. So a dad is working hard. You know, dad is trying to provide for his family. And I know that I'm not excluding moms for this. I'm just saying this is a dad story in particular, but moms do this too. But the dad is saying to me, man, you know what? I'm trying to be different than my dad. My dad was always gone and I always wanted him around more. And I hear my kids tell my wife they want me around more. So I'm going to be around more. But you know what happens, Kyle, when I'm around more? I'll be upstairs in my home office and I'll be like, I'm shutting it down at 5. I'm going to go down and spend time with the kids, right? And so he goes down to be with the kids and the kids are laughing with mom. They're making pizza and they're just enjoying it. And he's like, oh, look at this. This is great. So he jumps in and he's going to help. He starts like cutting the pizza, helping out. And then his 4-year-old gets mad at him for cutting the pizza wrong. And then the 4-year-old starts hitting him. And then the dad's like, you won't hit me. And he starts yelling at the 4-year-old. And then the other kids are crying and saying, dad, why are you doing this? It was better when you were not here. No? And the dad's like, Kyle, like, I wish I would have just stayed at work. I wish I wouldn't come home, you know? And so then the dad misses the whole opportunity he had because he came with this idea of a closed fist. Like he came in like, this is how it's going to be. As long as I stop working more, it's going to be great. But the dad has never really taken time to learn the skills it takes to turn that moment into a positive, right? He's just thinking, I'm going to come down. The kids are going to like, dad's home. Yay. And they're going to hug him and kiss him. He's here for pizza. Instead, it goes sideways, right? So that's really, I love to give dads, because I love their heart. So many dads and moms are trying to work less and they want to connect better with their kids. But then when they do it, it becomes a total, you know, total screw up. And the whole thing blows up in their face. Like, why did I even do that? And so when we equip them, how in that moment to be conscious, to be intentional, to know what that kid is actually needing to say to you and wants to connect with you, that whole moment turns into a sweet, sweet moment.
So with that dad who wanted to have pizza time at 5 o'clock,
yes,
what could he have done? What could he have done better in that?
Oh, moment? Man. Yeah. Yeah. If he knew
open hands, I guess.
Yes. That's great. So in his example, I would have told him like, as soon as the 4-year-old hit him, you know, that's a great moment because really the 4-year-old's only hitting you because he sucks at communicating, right? So he's just aggressively communicating. So, and the only reason, Adam, it's a problem is because dad doesn't want him to hit him, right? That's the only reason why it's a problem. Like, the kid hitting him isn't a problem if dad's okay with it. Dad doesn't want, I'm glad dad doesn't want the kid to hit him. But then that's an opportunity for the dad to get down and say, hey, son, you look really upset. Why don't you just tell me what you're upset about? Are you saying I didn't cut it correctly? Just say that. You don't need to hit me. And then the kid would say, well, dad, you screwed up the piece. I was trying to like, okay, you show me how you were wanting me to cut that. Let me see if I can fix it. And now the kid is like, oh, dad knows how to handle me. When I don't act like I should, dad knows how to help me do it better.
Yeah.
And that's the switch. I want parents to understand the conflict is only happening because you wanted them to do something different. So the conflict isn't something the kid is doing. It's your perception of what the kid is doing. And if you want the kid to do something different, guide him to what you'd rather him do. All dad did was resist him. Why? Because his fist was closed. He came with a closed mindset that when I come home, the kid should act this way. Instead of just accepting the kid as he was and then helping the kid be the kid he knows he is.
Yeah. I like that. So one of the big things that you're talking about that can help us with all of the things is just to have a stronger relationship. And a good example of how we could have a stronger relationship is instead of kind of like making things happen the way that we want them to happen is just to take that more time to ask and understand and get onto their level, the kid's level or the other person's level, for example. And that can help us build a stronger relationship. Is there another tip that
for building I would love it. Yes, maybe totally.
Talk about another one.
So one of my mentors a long time ago taught me about something that she calls joy juice. Okay. So there actually are four ways we neurologically connect better with other humans. Okay. And so those four ways would be through touch, eye contact, being present, and playful, right? So if you think about marriage, if you think about friendship, if you think about kids, if you're with them, you know, like let's say you're having a great day with your wife, you've had an awesome date, you naturally want to touch, have eye contact, be present, be playful. But if you're having a lot of conflict, things aren't going well in your relationship, those four things become harder. And you'll notice that with kids too. When you're not feeling great about your kids, it's hard to do those four things. So I try to tell parents who are trying to create deeper connection and have more joy in their relationship with their kids is you need to include those four. And you know what, Adam? Lots of parents do this intuitively because kids love to be tickled. Kids love to roughhouse, right? Why? Because those include touch, eye contact, you're present, and you're playful. You're not on your stupid phone checking email while you're playing with your kid. You can't do that when you're tickling and roughhousing. It's just not possible. And you think when you're there wrestling with them and your eyes to eye, you're like, they're laughing and you'll see the kid doesn't want it to end. The kid can't have enough of it because in that moment, this is heaven to them. Getting this one-on-one time, it literally is like joy just being said. I remember as a kid, Adam, my mom rubbing my back sometimes and talking to me, and you always were like kind of anxious of her stopping rubbing your back because you're like, this feels so good. I love this because I didn't know it, but that kind of stuff wires the other human. You know, in a sporting sense, think when you're at a football game and your team scores, you want to turn around and what? Touch, give a high five, make eye contact, you're completely present and you're laughing and you're playful. And then all of a sudden you're more connected to all these people sitting around you, right? And so I would encourage people that there was a time where I did that for 30 days. I just did kind of a 30-day challenge of I'm going to every day do this with my kids in some way. I'm going to include, maybe it's in our nighttime routine. Maybe it's right when I get home from work, I'm going to grab them. I'm going to horseplay with them and kind of roughhouse. But I'm going to include these four things and I'm going to see if it helps me enjoy them more. I'm going to see if it helps me like see them in a more positive way than I was before. And it was fantastic. All of a sudden, like when I came home from work, Adam, it was like I'd been all day with kids at the school. I'd even was doing some drug and alcohol counseling on the side. So I would come home. I was exhausted and I just wanted to escape. But I thought, you know what? That's actually not how joy and energy works. It works through connection. So I'm going to purposely come home in 30 days. I'm going to see what happens if I just, hey, kids, and I just came home and just do it. And I found after 30 days, I didn't want to escape. I was looking forward on the drive home to seeing them. And when I walked in the door, they were like, dad's here. And it was like, fantastic, right? So that would be a tip for anybody who's trying to podcast, who's working, who's trying to be an entrepreneur. It's easy to get caught up in the work stuff and just come home empty. But really everything you have to fill you up is right at home. And so when you come home, the filling up happens not on the phone, not playing a video game, not escaping, but engaging and connecting the humans in your house.
Yeah, cool. And hey, what's the limbic system before we get into your best advice? What's the limbic system?
That's great.
I've heard it. I can Google it, but I would love to hear the expert talk to you about
A real short synopsis of what I teach is the simple three brain states. So this is a real simple. So when you're first born, you got the brain stem, right? That's the fight or flight part of your brain. And that's the part we all go to whenever we're super escalated and we're losing composure. Meaning like, let's say on a feeling scale, I'm at like an 8, 9, or 10. So there, I'm just out of my mind. And all I want to do is get safe. I just want to be safe. But then the next part, about 18 months to 4 years old, the little kid's limbic system comes online. And that's why little kids start throwing tantrums. So it's not that they don't feel safe, but they actually don't feel like you understand them. They don't feel like you get it. And that's where we as adults are as well. When you go to a friend, Adam, and you're telling them about something and they start giving you some advice and you're like, dude, I just want you to freaking listen. Like, I actually don't want. So in the limbic system, I'm getting overwhelmed with the emotion. And all I want somebody to do is understand what I'm feeling and going through in that moment. So typically in a healthy marriage, that's where your wife or husband gives you empathy, right? A lot of marriage counselors will say, hey, when he or she comes with your problem, they don't want you to solve it. They just want you to listen. What he's saying, what that marriage counselor is saying is they're in the limbic system and they want to shift up to the prefrontal cortex. And in the prefrontal cortex, Adam, that's where I can see the problem with an open hand rather than a closed fist. When I'm in the emotional part of my brain, it's clouding my ability to really see solutions. All I'm seeing is problems. And you'll hear that a lot from kids. Like you'll try to give them, hey, have you tried this? I've tried everything, mom, dad, that doesn't work, right? And that's the kid saying, I'm still in the limbic system. I don't feel like you understand what it's like to be me. And so that's where I would teach parents to go, you don't understand what it's like to be the kid. So take a moment and empathize with the kid. And then what you're going to do is shift that kid up to the prefrontal cortex. And this is awesome, Adam. When I do with kids, all of a sudden, then I will see their body be less tense. I'll see them be more open. And then I'll say, hey, have you tried this before? And then the kid will say, well, no, I haven't tried that. Oh, cool. Would you be open to it? And then the kid will try, right? But just like 10 minutes before that, when the kid was griping and complaining, if I would have suggested that, the kid would have said, nothing works, man. I've tried everything, you know? And so that's kind of the limbic system is where we are overwhelmed with the emotion. And then the prefrontal cortex is where now I can have self-control. It's not that I'm not feeling emotion. It's just there the emotion is regulated and I'm able to actually use the emotion to think more clearly rather than it fogging.
I think I spent a lot of young years in number one and number two in the brainstem, fight or flight, and the limbic system, overwhelmed with emotion, not feeling understood.
Me
and
too.
It took me until I was like an adult to be able to get into that third part.
Yes.
And I'm not always there. I like to be there more.
And Adam, here's what I would say that in my training, what we learned is lots of parents used to parent all the time from the brainstem, meaning that life was not safe. Like it was scary. Like your kid could go outside and be eaten by an animal. So it's like you had to back 200 years ago, you didn't have safety. So it was a lot of fear-based parenting, right? Then we moved into more the limbic system where we had safer communities, safer societies. But there we just parented from shame and guilt, right? So it was all of like, you've really disappointed your mom. Like, I'm so disappointed in you, son. And you hear a lot of these stories of dad looking so mad on the sideline during the sporting event, right? And this, it was less about fear and more about letting your parents down. And so now what we're trying to do is help parents parent from the prefrontal cortex, where I really want to help the kids not be motivated by fear that they will be hurt or fear that they'll be ashamed, right? But really be able to know the human that they're wanting to be and how to become that human.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a quick break. And then I want to get your best advice for a podcaster. And yeah, this is going to be exciting. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Kyle Webster from The Art of Raising Humans.
Adam, it's Webster real quick.
Webster.
It's okay.
Oh, you know, that's funny. I went to Weber State and everybody called it the wrong thing also. So yes. Webster.
Well, it's that
there's
stupid.
No B. I should have.
It's that stupid dictionary, Adam. It's that stupid dictionary.
The Webster dictionary.
Well, especially there used to be a sitcom called Webster, and that was a problem as well.
Well, we're back with Kyle Wester from The Art of Raising Humans, and I'm sorry for doing that to you, bro. I want to get your best advice for a podcaster. So I want to think somebody's been doing this a little less than you. You've got 90 something, almost 100 episodes under your belt. What would you share with somebody who is a little further behind?
I would just say, don't overcomplicate it. Like, I was actually surprised, Adam, how easy it was. Initially, I'd put off doing it because I thought I had to have these awesome mics, these awesome headphones, and all this equipment. I want to let them know, I think our early podcasts are awesome, but they're just like, for our first like 30 podcasts, I did not have a professional mic. I still today, we use a better mic, but we're still in our master closet. So we still just do it in our master closet. I set up a foldable table. I put the iPad on there. I hook it up. And then I just have some stuff I've written that I want to follow, some questions I want to do with my wife about parenting, right? And I'm a big believer of just doing it. Like, the more and more you try to make it perfect and put it off, I think the bigger and bigger your anxiety gets about feeling like I have to do it right. I think what's really been fun about podcasting is seeing how many people got something out of it, even when my wife was like, oh, I wish we would have done it this way. Or I would have been like, oh, did we mess this up? Or even I'm learning now how to do our intros better. Like, our intros, I guess, were kind of sucky. So I thought they were okay. But then I talked to a guy who does a lot of, he's like, hey, I would change here's how to do it. So it's cool to see that there's more and more to learn all the time. And I'm sure even once we're into 200-300 episodes, right, we'll be learning a lot more. So my whole goal, Adam, and I hope anybody who's trying to, is just get a regular schedule doing it. So I would just set, here's the day. Every Monday, we're going to do it at this time. And that way, then we're not letting other things that are pressing overtake that. And then we're like, just procrastinate. So I just kind of said, hey, here's how many I want to do per month. Here's the days we're going to do them. And lots of times, Adam, we initially would do at least 2, sometimes 4 in a row, and just like, bum, 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 knock them out, right? And so initially, it was kind of finding out, what's the rhythm? How do we keep our energy up in it? How many's too many? Because, like, we homeschool our kids, Adam. So even when we're podcasting, it's like, hey, kids, what games are you going to play with each other until we're done? So we're trying to, like, also navigate, like, I hope the kids don't come in during this podcast. Yeah. So we were navigating a lot of different things. And so now we've kind of tweaked it to where I think we have the perfect amount that we want to do, and then kind of how to do that flow with each other. We're getting the intro down, and now we're moving into interviewing people. So we haven't done that yet. We had been asked a lot early on. I was getting 2 or 3 emails a week, and I just said no to all of them, because the goal was to do it with my wife. It was just to talk with her. But now we're about to reach 100 episodes. Now what we're going to start doing is, I want to start interviewing dads and moms who we've helped change their families. But I also am getting experts, like some people, experts on ADHD, to talk to parents about how to help kids. So trying to get different people from different fields who I feel like come in and just give value to our listeners. So that's the next phase. I am a little anxious about that. So I am nervous, because I feel like now I got to have this kind of equipment. I got to have a different type of platform. We got to make sure the video doesn't suck. What's our background? Before, our master closet was just fine.
I have one last question.
Yeah.
I want you to think about your experience all the way through 90, 100 episodes that you've done. And think about how you started, what equipment you started with, how many episodes you did solo or with your wife, or if she started or you started, if you weren't published on all the platforms, whatever it could be in the last 90 episodes, what do you think would be your single biggest mistake, and or something, if you could go back and tell yourself earlier on, hey, watch out for this, don't do that, what would that be?
That's a good question, Adam. That's a good question. I would say, kind of like with my initial advice about just doing it, I think I wanted to do it a lot sooner than I did. And once I started doing it, it was so fun and I enjoyed it so much. I think the only regret I have looking back had nothing to do with equipment, had nothing to do with those kind of things, because I don't know enough to regret it. So I just don't, but it really is like, why didn't I freaking do this sooner? Like, I mean, we've been doing this, I started the business 10 years ago, coming up this next August. So it's been a decade. And we listen to podcasts all the time, but I always believed a lie, that it was like something, this lie that I think a lot of us believe, that somebody else has something else I don't have. You know, those other people who are podcasting are just, that they're brilliant in technology, or they know how to produce the sound and all that. So I never really sought out any pathways to do it. But then as I did it, I think that going back, I didn't even include that. Back when I was doing those interviews, I noticed these people didn't seem to have perfect setups. They just had blank white walls like I have right now. And so they had, you know, all this kind of stuff. They didn't have a cool study, you know, set up. But I think I allowed my vision of what it needed to be. I couldn't imagine it being as simple as it was. And so I guess that would be, I just wish it would have started probably at least a year or two sooner than we did.
Yeah. You started during the pandemic or?
Yeah. Yep. During the pandemic.
You said in the beginning. Okay.
Yeah. So about 2021. So just a little over 2 years. Yeah. We started,
And you've had the business for 10 years.
Okay. 10 years.
Could you even imagine? So I've got some friends who've had their podcast for 5 or 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And it seems like the longer somebody has a podcast, the more successful it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the 1,600 people that you had download you in a week is very, very good.
Good. Thank you. I don't know. I don't even know.
It's very, very, very good.
Oh, good. Yes.
The average podcaster gets less than 100 downloads per episode.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
if you're listening and you've got like 80 downloads an episode, you're average. That's normal.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
And for anyone who has 300 downloads per episode, you're in the top 10%.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Kyle, good. For you having 1,600 that week, you're probably well above, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And the top 1% of all podcasts have 3,500.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
And then you have like the fractions of 1% that have maybe hundreds of thousands or millions per episode.
Yeah.
To have 1,600 in 1 week, you're only publishing once a week. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. That's good to know, Adam.
I don't remember exactly where I was going with that.
You were saying how we started in the pandemic.
Oh, and
there's a lot of
I was going to say is
this is what I do as a counselor and coach.
Yeah. Some of the people who started 5, 10, or 15 years ago in their podcast, they're the ones with the insane amount of downloads per episode. And so it's for the listener, for you, Kyle, for me, Adam, you know, if you'd mentioned your biggest mistake was I would have started a year or two sooner. Yeah. And I'm just saying, what if you started 10 years ago?
I know. Oh, like, my gosh.
You would be so famous right now. And so we can kick ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or we can just start our freaking podcast right now.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. No, that's right. I hope everybody listening, it was easy. Like once I started doing it, once I stopped overthinking it, it was so easy. And then, like I said, every time I've done it, it's so fun. Like I leave the master closet, high five my wife going, that was awesome, honey. Another episode done. So it just, I love the idea that you are recording. This is something unique in the history of our time, right? Like this is something you get to keep forever. I just think it's so cool. Like I'm so jealous for my kids because they someday when they have kids, if they really want to know how mom and dad actually intended to parent so they could go back and listen to our podcast. They could go, mom and dad didn't do this all the time, but this sounds really good what they're saying.
Let me share a few things or wrap up a couple things that you taught us today, Kyle. Yeah. First and foremost, get people's names right. That was important. That was important. Additionally, you should be getting on other people's shows. We should be intentional to get on other people's shows. You mentioned a whole bunch of benefits from you having your show and a whole bunch of benefits from you being on other people's shows. And they go to, for example, getting on other people's shows that grows your show.
Yep.
Getting on the other people's shows, you can sell to their listener. Like they could work with you. The listener could. The guest could, the host of that show could work with you, ask you questions.
Yep.
And if they don't hire you the day that you do the podcast, they might at least say, hey, I know a guy. You're yelling at your kid. I know a guy. You should talk to Kyle.
Yeah.
Wester, not Webster.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
Don't get hold of the other guy. I don't know who Kyle Webster is.
Whoever that is.
That's right.
And so you also gain more experience. You learn the pros and cons of what you're teaching, like what I should say, how I should say it, how people are taking it, because you have, you're getting more practice than just simply in your job or in your business or in your consulting. You're getting more practice also by being behind the mic. And your coach told you to start your podcast. Your coach told you to get on other people's shows. Yes. So If our listener doesn't have a coach, imagine you do. Those are the two things they'll probably be telling you.
Yep.
You mentioned, and maybe if we have you back on the show, I want to get into these four reels that got 1.4 million views.
Oh, I love it.
How do I do that?
I know. 1.4. I know. It was exciting. And it really grew our audience on Facebook. We had 800 followers on Facebook. We now are about to reach 100,000. So we just reached 95,000 last week. And there was times, Adam, where it was hitting 10,000 a day. And it was like, what is happening? But it's because these reels just caught fire.
Yeah. And guesting can give you confidence, be more seen and heard, be in Italy or other countries, expand your own understanding of what you're doing. You can work with the listener or the host. There's no such thing as competition. So give it all away. Number seven is come back, meaning I think I put like in my head a boomerang, right?
It's
like
it will come back.
It's
right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So you're putting the value out.
Yeah.
And don't worry. It's going to come back to you somehow, whether it's a referral or you're working with a host. You feel energized. You hone in your skill. You also taught us about a couple of things by being a better communicator, a better parent, a better spouse, for example.
Yeah. Yep.
Talking about the interpersonal neurobiology, the limbic system, and how to gain a stronger relationship with those four ways, the touch, the eye contact, being present and being playful, and those three different levels of the, I don't know what the term would be, but it's like the brainstem is the fight or flight, the limbic is being overwhelmed with emotion, and then the prefrontal cortex is when we have our open hands, our open minds, and how that can help us to be better. I appreciate you sharing your best advice and also your biggest mistake. We won't make that mistake. If we're listening, we're going to start our podcast now.
Exactly.
And the best advice was basically just do it. Just start. Oh, don't let the getting it right slow you down.
Yeah.
Let the getting it right happen over time.
Yep. That's good.
Love it. Yeah. And so you can go to Kyle Wester's podcast, The Art of Raising Humans. The link is down in the show notes. His bio is down in the show notes. His website is down in the show notes. Any social media that he wanted you to have is down in the show notes. And I'll see you on the next episode. By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.